Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist on a Wednesday evening. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
Genesis chapter number 19, and what I'd like to do is begin reading in verse number 15. We're going to try to cover much of chapter 19 tonight. We covered the first three or four verses last Wednesday, but we'll try to finish this chapter out tonight and still get you out in time to eat your beans and taters if you've not had supper and get your babies in bed for school tomorrow. All right, verse number 15 of chapter 19 of Genesis. The Bible says, "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest they be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." Amen. Let's have prayer. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the privilege it is to be here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the study of the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, what a blessing it is, Lord, to have, Lord, not only one copy, but several copies of the infallible, inerrant Word of God. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for these that are back, Lord. We've missed them, Lord. Lord, you know my heart, Lord, as pastor. I love, Lord, these sheep, and I thank you, Lord, for seeing some folks back tonight. I pray that you continue to help us all, Lord, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help those that are not here, Lord, they're weary, tired, they may be sick or working. I pray you'll bless them in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Genesis chapter number 19. Now, last week, we finished chapter 18 and we got into chapter number 19. And in Genesis chapter number 18, of course, we studied the Lord and the two angels that came to Abraham as Abraham sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And we saw how that Abraham was very hospitable to these strangers, that he thought they were just passerbyers. And we saw how that the two angels were given a special mission from God. They had been commissioned by God, first of all, for a mission of grace. We know that they came with the Lord, and the Lord revealed to Abraham and Sarah, as he had revealed before, that they were going to have a son. His name would be Isaac, and that his seed would be as the sand of the seashore. And then in chapter number 19, we see that the two angels leave the home of Abraham and they're on their next mission. They had two missions. One was a mission of grace. And this mission in chapter 19 is a mission of judgment, a mission of God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, in verse number 1, we saw how that the Bible says that these angels found Lot. And we emphasize what a real blessing is that although Lot was living in such a wicked day and a wicked time and in a wicked city of Sodom and of Gomorrah, the angels, and of course were commissioned of God, knew exactly where Lot was. They knew where he was. In this day and age we're living, no matter how wicked it is around us, and it is a wicked, wicked time. We're living in not the last days, we're living in the last hours of the last days. We're living in wickedness all around us. But yet God knows our frame. God knows where we are. Amen. And God knew where Lot was in the midst of Sodom, and He knows where we are in the midst of all the wickedness that's going on in our world today. And so the angels found Lot, and it's a picture or a message there that ought to edify our heart that God knows where we are, and He knows what we're doing for Him. The Bible says that our labor of love will not be in vain. Amen. And then we also saw that Lot bowed himself when these two angels, who he thought were just travelers, just passerbyers, just guests, he bowed himself down and he showed his hospitality to these two angels. And We talked about that he learned that from his uncle Abraham in the first few verses of chapter 18. That's exactly the way Abraham received his three guests. He bowed himself and he pleaded with them to stay with him and to fellowship, commune with him. And that's what Lot does in chapter number 19. And then, of course, after he pleads with these two, what he thinks is strangers, of course, we know were angels, that they turned in, verse number 3, and they fellowship with Lot. And they had a meal with Lot, and they stayed, we're going to stay overnight with Lot. Now, the message there, as we ended last Wednesday night, was that God's people are to hang out with each other. Someone said this past week, they said, besides my family, I take it very important is my relationship with the church family. And I agree to that, amen? The Bible says, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing. The Bible says, what communion or fellowship has light with darkness? We don't get along with the world, amen? If you're saved, you don't get along with the world. And so it's a picture there, a message there, that you and I are to fellowship with our own people, amen, our own kind. And these angels, they didn't turn into somebody's house that was wicked. They didn't stay and commune and fellowship with some wicked person in town. They stayed with Lot. Now, we know in the New Testament that Lot was a saved man, a believer. Now, we're going to see that he didn't have a real good testimony, but he was a saved man. He was called Righteous Lot. And so when we get into chapter number 19, I want you to look at verse number 4. Verse number 4, I'm going to deal with a couple of these verses, then we're going to try to cover the whole chapter with some thoughts the Lord's laid upon my heart tonight. Verse 4, the Bible says, but before they lay down, before they went to bed, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Now, I thought about that. It says, before they what? Lay down. Obviously, you know, the majority of folks lay down at night. At night is when they long to be revived and refreshed from the day's activities so that they might ready to face tomorrow and do the duties of their job and whatever they may face tomorrow. And so these angels are about to lay down because I believe it's getting dark. And it's in the darkness, it's in the night that these wicked men decide that they want to satisfy their lust. And I thought about how sin and darkness go hand in hand, doesn't it? Go hand in hand. They didn't come during the daylight, but it's at nighttime they showed up. And I thought about that. I don't think God's people ought to be staying out too late. I believe there's nothing but wickedness is going on, nothing but a bunch of ungodliness is going on. God's people ought to go home, amen. Get home, amen. And I thought about how that it was dark, and because of the darkness, this wickedness in these men's heart was inflamed. This lust was inflamed for these two guests. And I thought about how just this past week, Monday, or Tuesday night, I was sitting on the porch there in the a rocking chair, and I was praying for some folks in our church, and I had my Bible open, and I looked in Psalms 12. And I got some things upon my heart I'm really praying about now. And the Bible says that the Lord is my light. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I be afraid? And I thought about that. The Lord is our light, and He's our salvation. What does light do? Light, this is what God gave me now. Light dispels darkness. It's pitch dark in here at midnight. Come in here, flip the switch, and darkness flees. Light dispels darkness. And I thought about how Jesus said, I'm light. I can dispel all your darkness. And I'm not talking about nighttime. I'm talking about when we're in the dark. You ever been in the dark about a situation? It's just dark in your life right now. But the Lord said, I'm your light. You don't have to fear darkness. Hallelujah. And then He said, I'm your salvation. Now, if light dispels darkness, what did salvation do? It destroyed death, eternal death. And I thought about this. The two things that mankind is most afraid of is the darkness. They don't know what's on the end of the tunnel. They don't know what tomorrow holds. They don't know how that situation is going to work out. They don't know if they're going to keep their job. They hear about the layoffs. They're in the dark. You know what I'm saying? They're afraid of the darkness. And number two, they're afraid of death. You know I'm right tonight. But the Lord handled it all in verse 1. He said, I can handle your darkness because I'm light. And I can handle death because I'm salvation. Amen. And then the last verse of that chapter said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And boy, I thank God that in my darkness, the Lord can shed light. Amen. And give us. The Bible says the Word of God is what? It is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Thank God that we have the light even in the midst of great darkness. Amen. And so these young men and these old men can pass the house. You can see the lust for this sexual sin is inflamed in their heart and in their soul. And notice that it says it was both the old and the young. It was the old men and the young men. I found this, that just as much as the young men can be very sinful when it comes to the way they act and talk towards the opposite sex, old men can be just as bad, sometimes even worse. Amen. And the Bible says the old men and the young men, I believe that indicates that the young men had been taught at an early age about homosexuality. That's sick. That the old men had taught these young men at a very early age about homosexuality. They had introduced it to them. How sickening that is. I want to read a verse of Scripture about how you and I, as we grow older, that we are to teach the young generation. David said in the book of Psalms 71:18, he said, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. He says, Lord, I know I'm getting old and gray and I don't have a lot of days left to live on this side of eternity, but grant this one desire that I might teach the young the ways of God. That ought to be our desire tonight, amen? Now look at verse number 5 in Genesis 19. And they, talking about these homosexuals, these sodomites, they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Now you and I understand the phrase that we may know them is a wicked desire to have sexual intercourse with these two guests of Lot. We understand that. I want you to be reminded of Genesis 13:13. We covered this, but you remember that is the first time in our Bibles where the word sinner is used. Genesis 13:13. And what it makes reference to is the Sodomites in Sodom. The very first time that the word sinner is used in the Bible is in reference to homosexuality. And so the Bible says that in Genesis 13:13, that the people of Sodom were wicked. The word wicked means evil, sinful, disgraceful. And it also said sinners what? What was the word? Anybody know? Yes, but they were exceedingly. There it is, Brother Keith. Exceedingly. Let me give you a little definition of what the word exceed means. The word exceed means to go beyond the boundaries. Are you with me tonight? It means to go beyond the boundaries. Folks say, well, you exceeded my expectation. Someone mowed the grass for you, you pay them $20, and you go out there, man, they've done hedged up the shrubbery, and boy, you say, man, you exceeded my expectation. You exceeded what I thought you would do. What are you saying? You're saying to that person, you went beyond the boundaries. And the Lord said, watch this now, that those men in Sodom and Gomorrah, because they both were destroyed, the Bible said that they were sinners exceedingly. Exceedingly. What does that mean? They were sinners that went beyond the boundaries. What boundary did they go beyond? God's boundary of intercourse. They went beyond God's boundary. Sexual intercourse between a husband and wife is godliness. There's nothing wrong with it. But when you go beyond what God has set the limit and the boundary, you are going exceedingly against what God has said. And that's why the Bible says these men were sinners exceedingly. They went beyond. And what was that going beyond? They had sexual intercourse one with another. Male with male, female with female. And that's why God says they've gone beyond where my boundary is. God still has a boundary, by the way. I don't care who's in the White House. I don't care who's on Capitol Hill. I don't care who is House Representative, who's on whoever it may be. God still has a boundary. And God expects for all people to stay within those boundaries. Amen. You know why folks don't like the Ten Commandments? Because it's a boundary line. What is sin? Sin is rebellion. What do you want to do when you rebel? You want to go beyond the boundary line. Someone says, don't cross this rope here. You cross it. Why? Rebellion in your heart. Right? You're welcome. You're right. I'm right. I'm telling you, it's because of rebellion. When we disobey God, it's because of rebellion. We've gone beyond what God said for us to do. And God's Word is full of the boundary lines. God's Word gives you the limits that you and I are supposed to stay within. Okay? Amen. You say, well, I don't like that. I don't like that. I want more freedom. Oh, you've got more freedom than you've ever had. Because the Bible says that you no longer have the freedom to sin, but you have the freedom to serve. When you were lost, you had no freedom to serve the Lord. But now you're saved, you have freedom. Freedom from your sin, and now freedom to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we know that the Old Testament, because of Genesis 13:13, and we know in Genesis 19 that God destroyed Sodom because of sodomy, we know the Old Testament condemns homosexuality. Can I get a witness? All right, but there's the group that's running around today with the little rainbows on their bumper stickers will tell you that the New Testament does not condemn homosexuality. We're going to nail that tonight. Keep your finger in Genesis 19 and let's go over to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. They'll tell you that the New Testament, nowhere in the New Testament, nowhere did Jesus ever condemn homosexuality. It's in the Old Testament, but who cares about the Old Testament? They'll say, that's for the Jews. That's the Old Covenant, the covenant of law. What about the New Covenant? The covenant of grace. The covenant of love. Oh, they like that word, love. They know nothing of love. They know about lust. And there's a difference between love and lust. It is the lust that is inflamed in their wicked heart, not love. Romans chapter number 1. Here's the scripture where God condemns homosexuality. Verse number 24. The Bible says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Is uncleanness sin? If it's not clean, it's unclean. That means it's sin. Through the lust, there it is, of their own hearts. To what? Dishonor their own bodies between themselves. When a person has premarital intercourse with another person, whether it be the same sex or opposite sex, they are, number one, dishonoring God, and number two, they're dishonoring their own body, which the body is supposed to be what? The temple of God. So they dishonor their bodies, they dishonor God. So they dishonor their own bodies between how? What's the word? Themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. What did I just say that they say? The Word of God does not say anything wrong about homosexuality in the New Testament. What have they done? They've changed the Word of God and the truth of God into what? A lie. And worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. I believe we're living in that day. Oh, I believe we're there. Who is blessed forever? Amen. Who's blessed forever? Not the creature. The creature is cursed, but the Creator is blessed. Hallelujah. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Feelings for one for another. Affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. What is that referring to? Women having intercourse with women. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, you understand that clearly, don't you? We're all adults in here. Burned in their lust, one toward another. One towards another is conferring to who? Men with men. they've left the natural use of the woman and they've turned to other men. All right, the Bible says men with men. There it is. I don't know how better to describe homosexuality than those three words, men with men.
Amen.
And if that's not referring to homosexuality, then I don't know what would. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Notice that. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. It's not convenient. Amen. And so the Word of God, whether it be Old Testament or New Testament, strongly condemns homosexuality. And so these men come. And they pound upon the doors and the windows and they say, let us know these men. Verse number 6, the Bible says, and Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. Now, as we begin chapter number 6, and we continue in this chapter in the time we have left, we're going to begin to see the heartaches and the troubles that Lot had in his life, all because a few chapters ago, when Abraham said, Lot, choose where you want to go to start your home, your family, your business. Choose where you want to take your crop and where you want to take your cattle and all those things. And the Bible says, as you well know, that he lifted up his eyes and he looked towards the watery plains of Jordan and he pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to begin to see in chapter 19 the results of Lot choosing or making a decision without consulting God. You remember what I said over and over about that decision he made? The Bible says that he lifted up. He was given a decision, a choice. Abraham said, Lot, you're my nephew. You choose where you want to go. And he lifted his eyes and he looked. When it should have read, it should have read that he bowed his head and prayed. But instead of bowing his head and praying for God's guidance and wisdom, he lifted up and he looked, he saw, he lusted, he chose. And he chose that sinful lifestyle. And now in chapter number 19, you and I understand that we're going to see that Lot grabbed that lifestyle. He got a hold of that lifestyle, and now that lifestyle or that sin has got a hold of him, and he's going to pay the consequences. Now, you know chapter 13, verses 6 and 7, and how Lot chose a Sodom. He chose it without praying, and you know the story. Just give you a little update of what's going on in Lot's life. He chose that area. You remember that there's five cities, the sister cities of Sodom, Gomorrah, five cities that were on the plains or were there at the plains of the Dead Sea. The three kings from the east, led by King Calamara, he comes down. You remember the story. And they, three kings, attack the five cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and their three sister cities. You know the story. What happened to Lot? He was taken captive. You know that they destroyed about everything in their paths. You know the story, how God revealed to Abraham what was happening. And Abraham was given strength and wisdom by God. Abraham got his servants together, his well-able men servants. They go down there and they defeat Calamara and these other two kings of the east. They rescue Lot. Now get this picture in your mind. No doubt after Lot is rescued from his enemy, he's been living in Sodom and much of what he's known has been destroyed by these three kings of the east. No doubt Lot probably hugged Abraham, his uncle, and they probably had a sweet reunion. He probably was thankful in his heart for what Abraham had did for him and his family. Well, Abraham wonders what Lot's going to do next. Lot's basically got to start over. And you know the story. Lot went right back to Sodom. God took him out by chastising him. But Lot went right back to his sin. Are you with me tonight? He went right back to that sin, that lifestyle. He went back to... I'm not saying that Lot was a homosexual. I'm saying the lifestyle of sinning, disobedience to God. And here Lot is gone back to that sinful way of living. And he should have learned his lesson. He should have known that Sodom is not where I need to be. God has had mercy upon me. Lot could have died in that battle. Amen? Lot could have died in that war, but God had mercy on Lot. Then God brought Abraham back to Lot's life, and Abraham rescued Lot from being a slave and a captive to these three kings of the east. Lot should have learned his lesson. Lot should have said, boy, I tell you, I'll never do that again. I'll never go that way again. I tell you what, boy, the Lord, He showed me in a hurry that there's troubles when you get away from God. God showed me in a hurry there's heartaches when you get away from God. There's some problems that are going to arise in my life when I get away from God. I'll not do it again. But that's not what Lot did. He failed God, and now he's going to fail God again. You know, we all fail the Lord, right? We all fail the Lord. And I know if you're holy tonight, you won't amen that, but we all fail the Lord. That's one thing that I try to emphasize here at Open Door. We don't say it's right to fail the Lord. We don't say it's good to fail the Lord. It's still sinful to fail God. It's sinful. But what I do want to emphasize here is that we serve a God that is merciful. A God that will forgive and restore. Amen. And Lot should have fell on his knees and said, I'm sorry, God. I should have learned my lesson. I'm not going back to that sinful disobedience again. But Lot went right back to it. You know, there's a lot of people in the Bible. You read your Bible, there's a lot of people of God that failed the Lord. Let me tell you about some great people that you and I probably will never get close to being the Christian they were, but they failed. What about Peter? Didn't he fail the Lord? Oh, Peter failed the Lord. He failed the Lord so much that he had a cussing fit. He cussed, buddy. I mean, he hadn't forgot those words he used to use when he was lost and he got the hook stuck in his finger before he met the Lord. He still remembered those words. And he used them. He had a cussing fit. And he did something worse than cussing. You know what he did worse than cussing? He denied the Lord. He denied the Lord. He said, I don't know him. I don't know. I have no part with him. Oh, boy. Oh, my. I believe when you go out to the restaurant, and I've never seen none of you do this, so don't say, oh, he's preaching to me tonight. I've never seen it. But I believe when you go out to a restaurant in public and you don't bow your head and thank God for that food, you are denying your Lord. You're denying your Lord in public. I'm worried what they're thinking about me. Chances are they're not even thinking about you. Amen? You can be a witness by praying every... I'm not being rude, but even pigs bow their head before they eat. Even a pig will bow his head before he eats. And some Christians are too ashamed to even do that. But Peter failed the Lord. But guess what? Guess what? Oh, God used Peter, didn't he? What happened after Peter failed the Lord? That old rooster put him under conviction, didn't he? Man, it wasn't the rooster, it was the Holy Ghost. But he wept bitterly. He got right with God, didn't he? Amen. He got right with the Lord. And God used Peter. All these disciples failed the Lord. Israel's greatest king failed the Lord. David committed adultery. He committed adultery. He was unfaithful to his wife. But God forgave him because he had a true heart of repentance. God restored that man. And what God said, David is a man after my heart. What about Moses? Oh, he failed the Lord. A lot of folks forget that Moses killed somebody. And I know it was prior to him being in there serving the Lord, but Moses, you know, he failed the Lord by disobeying God. God said, speak to the rock. And Moses said, I got a better way. I got a staff right here. I've been dying to use this on some of these Israelites. I'll use it on this rock. I hope some of them Israelites are watching because I'm going to show them how I'm going to beat the devil out of them like I'm going to beat the devil out of this rock. He disobeyed God. He failed God, did he not? I mean, even Abraham failed. Who's not failed? Who's not? The problem that we need to be concerned about is, yes, failing is not good, but we need to be concerned about staying in that sin, wallowing in that sin, falling in the sin and just enjoying it like a pig in slop, just loving, rolling in it, and we think it's just the greatest thing. Listen, we've got to, by the help of God, get up, amen, and go forward. The Bible says a righteous man falls down, but what does it do? He gets up. He goes forward. That's a picture of getting right with God, getting his heart right, and he goes forward. Well, Lot goes right back to Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know the story in chapter 19. God's fed up with the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's, you know, we're living in a day and age where folks say, well, he's a God of love. He's a God of... Well, yes, sure he is. But, and I'm not making reference to the Lord as a quarter, but there's two sides to a quarter. And just as much as God is love, God's also a just God. He's also a God that will judge sin. He will judge sin. And Sodom and Gomorrah has had time to repent. It was in chapter 13 that God called their sin out. Is that right? In chapter 13, years ago, God said, them people are wicked, exceedingly. Now, when you get to chapter 19, I don't know exactly how many years has passed, but God's been merciful to these people. They've had a chance to be right with God, but yet they choose to continue to go that way of sin. They continue to go away from God, so God says, I'm done. I tell you, it scares me when I see people get away from the Lord and they just continue and continue and continue. And it's like they're trying God's patience. They're trying God's mercy. I wouldn't want to be in those person's shoes, because there's going to be a time where God's going to say, that's it. That's it. I'm done. I'm going to take you out of here. And I've said this before, and I believe with all my heart, there's people in the graveyard. Their bodies, their shells are in a graveyard today, Christian people that one time loved the Lord and one time had a desire to do right. They got away from God, and the devil kept working in their heart and in their mind, and people would love them, and folks were praying for them, and they would stay away from God, and they stay away from God, and they got farther away from God, farther away from God, and they were destroying their testimony. And next thing you know, God took them out of here. And you say, that's not how my God operates. You got the wrong God. Well, I tell you, God will cut you off if you try to hinder the things of God. We've got to be careful with that, church. God, help us all. We need this. If I fall in sin tomorrow, I've got to understand, and you've got to understand, that we got to get right with God. We can't stay in the muck and the mire of sin. We've got to say, God, forgive me. You know, you might be a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter tonight. Whether you're here tonight or listening by the way of internet, you may be considered a prodigal son. But it, you know, may the end story be as it was in his life in the book of Luke, that you turn and go right back to the Father. Get back to where you're supposed to be. Amen. And Lot lost some things. I'm gonna give you three things in closing. Three things here that Lot found out about his sin. Listen to me. I'm telling you with all my heart. Sin's not worth it. Sin's not worth it. It's not worth staying away from the Lord. It's not worth staying bitter in your heart towards people and towards the Lord and towards the church. It's not worth it. Sin is not worth it. And Lot is living in sin. He has choose to stay there. And there's three things that I want you to see. First of all, Lot found out that sin's not worth it. Number one, sin's not worth losing your spiritual feelings. I want you to think about these three things. It's not worth losing your spiritual feelings. Now listen to me. I know I'm not saved by feelings, thank God. Some days I don't feel so saved. Some days I feel like I'm fixed to go to heaven right now. There's other days I just don't feel so saved. I'm glad it's not based on feelings. But there are some feelings involved in being a Christian. Well, you ever felt the presence of God in your heart? Well, you ever sat in service and the preacher preached or someone sang and the Spirit of God began to flutter in your heart? Boy, there's some wonderful spiritual feelings when you walk with the Lord. Lot lost that. Sin is not worth losing your spiritual feelings. Let me remind you about Lot. He was raised in a godly home. Just as a young lad, Lot's father died, and God in His mercy allowed his uncle Abraham to take him in. And Lot became like a son to Abraham. Abraham loved Lot. Abraham took care of Lot. Without a doubt, we know in verse number 19 of chapter 18, the Lord said that Abraham trains his house right. With that being said, we know Lot was trained right. Lot knew what it was to serve God. Back in these days, they had multiple gods. They served many gods. But here's Abraham. He leaves his family, the Ur of Chaldees, a heathen land where heathen worship was dominant. He walks away and he puts his faith in one God, Jehovah God. And Lot is likewise. He learned from Abraham. Lot was righteous too, the Bible says in the New Testament. And Lot learned how to serve the Lord. He knew what it was to talk to God. He knew what it was to pray. He knew what it was to worship God with all his heart. He knew what it was to feel the touch of God. He knew what it was like. But because of his sin and because of his unwillingness to confess that sin, he lost his spiritual feelings. In chapter 19, I won't take the time for the sake of our time tonight, but you can read, Lot has no spiritual feelings. I've had people come to me in my study after church, or they'll call me on the phone, they'll want to meet, and they'll cry and they say, "Preacher, I just ain't feeling nothing. I don't feel anything, preacher." What happened? You've lost your spiritual feeling. Why? Because of S-I-N. Sin. 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 Sin's not worth it. The sin of disobedience, of unfaithfulness, whatever it is, it's not worth you sinning like that and then come in the church and sit here and not get nothing out of it. When folks can weep and say, "Praise the Lord, I'm glad I'm saved." When folks stand and testify on Sunday night and you sitting there and you know like a knot on the log. Listen to me. Sin's not worth losing your spiritual feelings. Lot had to learn that the hard way. Here's a man that knew God. Here's a man that at one time loved God, served God, trusted God, and now he's lived so long in this unconfessed sin that he has no spiritual feelings whatsoever. I thought about it's our choice. You can choose a life of sin, a life of disobedience to God. I'm talking to Christians tonight. You can choose that, or you can choose to confess that sin, turn back to God in repentance, and choose a life of God's touch upon you. Choose a life of God's presence real in your life again. I want you to look. Look at Genesis 13, verse 14. Keep your finger there in 19. I've got to hurry now, but I've got to read this to you. Lot learned that sin's not worth losing your spiritual feelings. Look at verse number 14 of chapter 13. After Lot chooses, in verse 12, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. We know that it wasn't long till he was in right in the middle of Sodom. Verse 14, Lot has left, and the Lord said unto Abram, after, watch that statement, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Oh, that passage of Scripture, when you look at it, the way I'm looking at it tonight, it breaks my heart. Immediately after Lot, who had a decision to make, he didn't bow his head and say, "God, what was your will for my life? What would thou have me do?" But he lifted his eyes, and because of his flesh desires, he chose. And as soon as Lot left, as soon as he is now commenced upon this uncharted waters, he's going out there now to where he thinks he wants to live out there. And immediately the Lord showed up to Abraham. Abraham stayed where God wanted him to stay. And he said, "Abraham, because you obeyed me, because you stayed with me, You look out here, Abraham, everywhere you want to look, I'm going to give it all to you. I believe with all my heart, Lot could have had and lived with Abraham the rest of his days. He could have had the touch of God and the blessing of God that Abraham had. Abraham got blessed. Lot went and lived out into the sin of Sodom. Well, that breaks my heart to read that. He lost his spiritual feelings. Second of all, sin. Lot will tell you, sin's not worth losing your spiritual feelings. Number two, sin is not worth you losing your spiritual fruitfulness. No doubt, Lot had the touch of God in his life at one time. As I said earlier, he had a testimony that he loved the Lord, he loved God. I believe that because he was so close to Abraham, and they were close, I believe because of that, I believe that he had a testimony that was godly. A testimony that was so godly that I believe it influenced other people. I believe it influenced other people to leave their false gods and turn to God Jehovah. I believe that. I believe that. I believe he had a testimony where he was concerned about other people. But when he got in that sin, all he was concerned about was him. Nobody's got problems like I do. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody cares. Selfishness. When you're right with God, it's about other people all the time. Then when you're not, it's me, 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 me. And Lot, who had a testimony for God, who loved the Lord, who wanted to reach people for God Jehovah and be fruitful for God, now he has found out, because of living in this sin, in disobedience to God, away from God, he has not only found that sin is not worth losing your spiritual feelings, but number two, sin is not worth, Lot or you and I, losing our spiritual fruitfulness. I want you to look at chapter 18. Look at chapter 18. I'm going to wrap her up. Look at chapter 18. I want you to look at verse number 23. I'm not going to read 23 all the way to 32. I'm going to give you the cliff notes. You know what's happening here if you was here last Wednesday night. You understand that Abraham begins to make intercession to the Lord. He says, will the great judge of the earth, will he destroy the righteous with the wicked? And he says, if there's 50, will you spare Sodom? Lord says, sure, if there's 50, I'll grant that request. What a God. And he kept going down, and I want you to get down to verse number 32. It ought to astonish us tonight. And he said, Abraham, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet but this once. In other words, this is the last time I'm going to deal with this, Lord. Preadventure, or suppose, 10. Do you see that? It went from 50 to 10. 10 shall be found there. And he, the Lord, said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. With all the thousands of... This is not some little hick town with just about 100 people in it. Backside the valley in some mountain somewhere. This is a very... a city that is very populous. So many people. The population is at this day and time is very high. People, this is a very famous city. People are, you know, it hit being such a wicked city that the wicked people came running to it. And thousands of people, and not even 10 people were saved. Thousands of people, and not any 10 people. Well, preacher, did they have a believer that could share the faith in God? Did they have that? They sure did. I had one person who had been taught. One person who had been taught the way of God. His name was Lot. And Lot was so much in his sin that he couldn't even influence 10 people to serve his God. Oh my, are you hearing that tonight? I'm telling you tonight, Number one, sin is not worth you losing your spiritual feelings. Number two, sin is not worth you losing your spiritual fruitfulness. God said, if there's 10 people there, I will spare the city. You know what happened? It was destroyed. They had a believer there. They had a witness there. His name was Lot, but his testimony was so ruined and marred that he couldn't even reach 10 people. Oh, Lot had sin in his life. He had been walking in sin's mud, lingering in sin, never getting right with God, and so he had no testimony, he had no desire, he had no effort to reach anybody for God Jehovah. He was unfruitful. What caused that? Living in sin. Besides, when we know the end of the chapter, his wife is spared and his two daughters for a little while. On the way out, his wife was destroyed. Who else did Lot reach? Nobody. Nobody. And then I want to say this in closing, that there's so many Christians that are backslid on God. They're living in sin. They know they're not right with God. You don't need a preacher to be blue in his face and point at you and say, you're not right with God, you're sorry. You don't need that. You got the Holy Spirit of God abiding in your heart. Every time you lay your head in the pillow at night, the Holy Ghost will tell you, whatever your name is, you need to get that thing right with me. You need to get right with the Lord. You need to get that sin out of your heart. You know it's going to ruin you. You know it's going to ruin your family. It's going to hurt you. And then last of all, in closing, if Lot learned that sin wasn't worth losing your spiritual feelings, and number two, Lot learned that sin's not worth losing your spiritual fruitfulness, I believe number three, Lot learned this, and we better learn it. Sin is not worth losing your family. In chapter 19, verse 12 and 13, I'll read it to you if your Bible's already closed. And the men, talking about the two angels, said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. And he said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Lot, you're going to tell us how to live? You're going to tell us what's the right way? Lot, we're your sons-in-laws. You treat us like your own sons. We know you really good. Don't come preaching that to us. You learn to practice what you preach, and then you can come preach to me. They thought he was making a joke. He mocked. They thought he was having a good time. They thought he was Chicken Little. The sky's falling! The sky's falling! That's what they thought. They said, good joke there, Lot. Real good, bud. That's real good, bud. They didn't even take one word seriously that Lot spoke. When Lot spoke about God, when Lot spoke about destruction of sin, they laughed at him. There's a lot of preachers in pulpits today that their members are laughing at them. They get up there, try to act holy and like they're serving the Lord, and they're living in sin themselves, and their congregation's living in sin, because a lot of times what's in the pews is in the pulpit. Not everybody in the church is like the pastor. I know that. But a lot of times, what's in the pulpits in the pews. A lot of times, that why it's so cold and indifferent in the pews is because there's a polar bear sitting in the pulpit. Right. He's not on fire for God, so the members ain't on fire for God. I believe that. I believe you ought to practice what you preach, what you teach, what you sing. Amen. Man, but they laughed at him. They laughed at him. And the Bible says that Lot goes to his sons-in-laws, two of them, and they laugh at him. And he stayed so long. Look at verse 16. The morning arose. Destruction is, the day of judgment has come. And the angel said, you need to get out of here lest you be consumed. Verse 16. And while he lingered, that ought to knock us off the pew tonight. He was told this town's going to be destroyed by fire. God's going to judge it. But he what? Lingered.
Amen.
Why is it that we know what the will of God is? We know what the way of God is. We know what the work of God is. But yet when we just linger in that sin, we linger in that lifestyle and that disobedience, we linger in that fear, we linger in that selfishness. Why is that? He lingered. Look what happened. The men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. It's a sad, sad deal that when Lot said, destruction's coming, they just laughed at him. We don't believe you. Lot, you hadn't talked about God to us in a while. You must be in trouble. You're all of a sudden going to get godly on us. That's what happens. Come on now. I'm not being rude, but that's how it happens. People get in trouble. All of a sudden they're going to get godly. They're going to start going to church. Why? Because they think the church is a bank. When God knows your heart if you really get right with Him or not. Or if you're playing a game with God. The preacher may not know. The members of the church may not know, but God knows. I've asked people before, I said, do you believe in your heart that you're right with God now? Do you believe you got that sin confessed? Yes, I do. You know what? At that time, all I can take is their word. But I know in my heart that there is fruits of repentance. And I will see, and those around them will see, that there is fruits of their repentance. That they did get right with the Lord. And Lot's so far away from God that he learned sin's not worth losing your spiritual feelings. Sin's not worth you losing your spiritual fruitfulness. And sin's not worth you losing your family. So they escape. You know the story? They escape. They're running for their life. The word is escape for thy life. They're running. And the angel says, now while you're running, there's something else you need to be doing. Keep looking forward. You know why it's so hard for some Christians to get away from that sin? Because while they're confessing it, dear God, I pray you forgive me. Lord, forgive me of that. They're just, you know, God, please forgive me. And they're just getting closer and closer. They keep looking back. You ought to say, you turn. That's what repentance is a turnabout face. You're going this way in that sin. You say, God, forgive me, and you turn. And the Lord turns you, and you go the other way, and you don't look back, because you look back, and you'll be going back. Now go outside tonight. If any of you want to try this, go outside tonight, and I want you to do, what I want you to do is I want you to walk. And what I want you to do is you walk, and then I want you, about middle ways, go so far, and then I want you to turn your head as far as you can and look back and continue walking. And I want you to have a target, a goal, and see how far off that goal you get. Can't go straight and forward when you're looking back all the time. Preacher, you don't know what kind of sinner I was. Guess what? I don't care what kind of sinner you was. That's in the past. It's covered by the blood, amen. Boy, I don't know why churches have testimony meetings. And it's who can brag on their sin the most. I tell you what, preacher, nobody could outdrink me. But I tell you, preacher, I was a drunk. Boy, I could drink the beer. Or preacher, I tell you what, I run a lot of women all the time. Boy, all the women knew me. Preacher, I tell you what, I tried every drug in town. I don't care. Just say, hey, I was a sinner. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. I don't care about your past. God's forgot it. I don't want to be reminded of it. Amen? And you shouldn't want to be reminded of it. Amen? Well, when people try to remind me of my past, it bothers me. It about makes me mad. Amen? I about get just so stinking mad and frustrated. I don't want to hear about my past. It's under the blood. Amen? It's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lot's wife, she looks like she's doing real good, but she couldn't get her mind off that lifestyle and that sin. And she looked back, and the Bible says she turned to a pillar of salt. Now, of course, the modernists today and the people that are on the History Channel and Discovery Channel said that didn't actually happen. There's, you know, they're going to figure it out one day. I can't wait till they tell me what actually happened. There's so much in the Bible that, you know, God didn't tell us the truth, so they'll inform us one day, and I can't wait till that. That's going to be great to know actually what happened. She turned to a pillar of salt. Right. A pillar of salt. Of course, you know the Dead Sea, no body of water, contains more salt than the Dead Sea. That you see, have the Sea of Galilee, and the Jordan River flows out of the Sea of Galilee, and it flows towards the Dead Sea. It has so much salt in the Dead Sea that when the fish flow from the fresh waters of Jordan into the Dead Sea, automatically they die. Automatically. It kills them. She turned to a pillar of salt. And then the last chapter, his two daughters said, "Hey, our husbands, those sons-in-laws, they died, and we don't have a husband. We've got to have children." Remember, Sarah, she shows us how important children were. Hannah shows how important children, especially male children. They said, we need a male child. What are we going to do? Well, they get an idea. Let's get daddy drunk. And they had incest with their own father. And one daughter gave birth to a child who became the father of the Moabites. And the other daughter had a child, a man child, and he became the father of the Ammonites.
Right.
No two nations or tribes of people have been more of a hindrance to Israel than the Moabites and the Ammonites. Lot's own family became the greatest enemy of his beloved uncle's family. Sin is not worth it. God help us tonight with that. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Bible says in John chapter number 14 that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.